Blog Talk Radio.
The dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining till He appeared and the weary world rejoices, for yonder is a new and glorious morn. Oh, fall on your knees, oh, was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night and His gospel is peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease. Hymns of joy in grateful chorus rise we. Let all within us praise His holy name. Oh, Christ.
Rain on us, Holy Spirit, rain on us. Holy Spirit, rain on us. Just out of your spirit right now, let's just say it together. Holy Spirit, rain on us. We need your spirit, rain on us. Holy Spirit, rain on us. One more time, wherever you're at, just call on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rain on us. Tell him, Jesus, we need you. We need you, Father. Holy, Holy Spirit, rain on us. For we need your spirit just to make it through the day. Holy Spirit, won't you rain on us? Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, rain on us. We need your Holy Spirit throughout our lives. Just rain on us. Cover us down, Jesus. Cover us with your love. with your protection. We thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to just share with the world what you have put in our hearts today. And we ask that you, dear Father, just start at the top of our heads and just penetrate your reign, your love, your patience, your protection, your guidance, your forgiveness throughout every being of our heart, every being of our soul, every being of our spirit. Hallelujah. And right now, by the authority that you have given to me, dear Father, every demonic spirit that has followed me, has followed us, that has came in, that we have unexpectedly invited, dear Father, we denounce you and we cut you off in the name of the Holy Ghost right now, covered by the blood of Jesus. You have no standing here. You have no right here. And hallelujah, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, every listener right now who is opening up their heart, dear Father, to hear your word, to hear you speaking directly into their situation. Hallelujah. I stand in agreement, dear Father, with your word to move everything distracting them right now out of the way. Hallelujah. And we speak faith words, dear Father, right now into those situations. And we know that our faith separates and it tears down those walls, dear Father, that is separating us from you. So we speak faith words and we come believing and receiving and possessing the things that we have been confessing about in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, all your servant, dear Father, may I decrease, and I invite you to come and just increase and just pour out onto your people all that you need for them to have, to hear, to carry with them, dear Father, as they wake up this morning, as they're sleeping. Oh, dear Father, however you want to get the word to them, Jesus, in archives, however, Jesus, have your way in our lives. Have your way in our homes. Have your way in our schools. Have your way, dear Father, in the hospital rooms right now, in the courtrooms. Have your way. All behind prison bars, we ask you to have your way. Oh, somebody's waiting, dear Father. Oh, they're crying out, dear Father. And I thank you, Jesus, that your word is expressing right cheers of joy to them. But I just want to let them know that you are hearing their voice. You're hearing their cry. And remind them that delay does not mean deny. Oh, powerful Jesus, Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. We cry out and say we need you, Jesus. Rain on us. Rain on us. We open our hearts and we come to receive because you are the only one who can answer our prayers. You are the only one. And as we examine our hearts tonight, we ask you to bless us and be with all the preachers and teachers and leaders and all the saints, dear Father, and sinners alike. We bring our request to you, Father, filled with the Holy Spirit, thanking you for your anointing, Jesus, as we be obedient, dear Father, and do as you would have us do, say as you would have us say, and go where you would have us go. Oh, in the powerful name of Jesus, I thank you for your Holy Spirit one more time. Thank you, Jesus. And we ask that you rain down on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning, Blog Talk listeners. This is I, Evangelist Von Dumas, coming from San Antonio, Texas, from the Tri-Anointed Ministries. And we said, God bless you. Hello, God bless you. Are you ready to examine your heart? Are you ready to examine your heart? Sisters and brothers, we're going to be studying the Word tonight. We have a lot of scriptures for you. So if you actually would like to call in, that call-in number is 646-652-4916. Also, you can go into the chat room, and you'll notice that I've already listed all of the scriptures that we're going to be going over tonight, already listed for you there in the chat room for you all that are already in there. God bless you all. I hope that is very helpful for you. So you can jot those down and read along with me. You can also keep that to carry with you as your war. This is your sword. This is your sword. So when you're out fighting your battles, in your home, outside of your home, on your jobs, your schools, this is your sword that you're going to be needing to carry with you. So we have the word here for you. The word is your, the spirit of the word is your sword. So make sure that you're getting down the scriptures and so they can penetrate your heart. And we're reading from the book of Romans in the New Testament tonight. Our scriptures come in the book of Romans, the New Testament, and chapter 3. And for the sake of time, we're going to move on because we really want to get the word in and let the Holy Spirit just say and do what he wants to do. Chapter 3, and we're going to be starting reading from verse 22. It says, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because it's his forbearance he has left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." Again, our scriptures came from the word, the book of Romans and the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 22 through 26. And God bless all of the listeners that have heard the scriptures. May you understand God's justice and just his grace. And we've all come short. Hallelujah. So let's not hold that against ourselves. And when we confess our sin and we believe that God has blessed us and forgiven us for our sins, let's forgive ourselves. Let's forgive ourselves also. In order to get to our steps of forgiveness and learning why we should confess and repent of our sins, we have to be in a repentant status before we can get our sins forgiven. So to learn all of that, we need to examine our hearts. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, is examine our hearts. So I invite you all to get your sword, which is your word. Let's get it out and let's go and see what God has for us tonight, as he is reminding us to examine our hearts. Maybe the enemy has told you that you're useless to the kingdom of God. But don't listen to that lie and end up walking into the enemy's trap to keep you in a constant state of despair and fear of failure. That's a lie of the enemy. For Jesus has not given up on you. Jesus has not given up on you. Hallelujah. And that is so important for you. Jesus has not given up on you. Regardless of what things may look like, you have to tell yourself sometimes, Jesus has not given up on me. Whatever it is, Jesus has not given up on you. Repent of your sins. Ask God for forgiveness. Now remember, the sins, the filth of the sins that we're born into, we have to ask God to forgive us for that. We can't just continue to just let it go on and continue to do the same thing over and over again, living in that sin. We have to repent with a pure heart, and we have to choose to live a righteous life. We have to choose to speak righteousness over our situations and our families. So we're going to examine our heart. And what better place to start? We were speaking of Daniel and faith words on our segment. What better place to start? Well, just stand in the D's and let's go with King David. Hallelujah. Examining your heart, King David. Again, that call-in number is 646-652-4916. And you can also go into the chat room, or you can always reach me by email at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Walkwithmegod@aol.com. Please continue to send in your prayer requests. I have met so many wonderful people just interceding in prayer with them. So continue to send in your prayer requests at walkwithmegod@aol.com, or leave a message here to Blog Talk Radio
Or again, you can always call in at the 646-652-4916. I am your host, Evangelist Von Dumas, coming to you from Tri-Anointed Women of Christ Ministries here in the lovely city of San Antonio and the state of Texas. All right. King David, we know about King David, and we all should know that King David was a man that was that made serious mistakes in his life. But he discovered how to turn away from sin and get his heart right with God. So I think King David's life is many things we can get examples from, but one of the main things that, you know, that how some people in the world will try to condemn you because of mistakes you have made in your life, but it's not just the mistakes being made. It's when you don't repent of those mistakes, when you don't see a reason to make a difference in your life and try to change those, make a correction over those. King David, again, had made many mistakes in his life, serious mistakes. But again, the same King David discovered how to turn away from those sins and get his heart right with God. He loved God. And we have a lot of scriptures, again, that we're going to be reading. And for sake of time, I'm going to move pretty quick, but at the same time, I'm going to go slow enough for you to get those down in case you're not in the chat room to get those written down. Or if you need another copy of these, of course, get in touch with me to get them. You can even get a CD or download it to MP3, however you want to get the word. Don't let nothing stop you from getting the word. This is your word. Hallelujah. So starting with Psalms 51 and 10, it tells us that, create in me a clean heart, says David. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right and steadfast spirit within me. Hallelujah. He wanted a right and persevering and steadfast spirit within me. The word create in this verse is used to describe a work of God. He said, create in me a clean heart. He wanted him to create. It means to, again, work in him. Only God's work. Only God can create this in us. Not something that you do yourself, but something that he does. The precious blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross has the power to wash away your sins and present you blameless before the Father. And I have been asked before, what is so precious about? Why are we so hooked up on the blood? Because the blood is sacred. It's the blood that covers your sins. That blood is the precious blood of Christ Jesus that He stood in your place, and it covered up all of your sins that you would, anyone that was here or ever have been here on earth, will ever commit. The blood of Jesus has covered those sins. So there's power in the blood. It takes a lot of power to cover our sins from a person who was sinless. So the precious blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross has the power to wash away Evangelist Vaughn's sins, to wash away your sins. And then it also has the power to present you blameless before the Father God. His death and resurrection has created power to transform every person that calls upon his name in faith. Romans 10:9-13 declares, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus Lord, that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, and with the mouth he confesses salvation. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Rip quickly, I just want to go back and just explain some things here for you. So it says that in your heart, if you believe, it means if you adhere to, if you trust in him, if you rely on that truth, if you really trust and you believe and you rely on the fact that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And then it says, for with the heart a person believes. Again, it means to adhere to, trust in. You rely on Christ. And so is justified, you declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confessed. Dearly, you declare it openly. You speak it out freely about his faith. You confirm that he died for you. And it said, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, that means invoking him as Lord, then you will be saved. So you may be the worst sinner on the planet. But the moment you call on the name of Jesus, you're born again into the family of God. The instant you repent and ask Jesus to forgive your sins, you're saved. Old things have passed away and all things become new. We say on every segment, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Because it's very important that you understand that. It's very important that you understand that. Old things have passed away and all things become new. Although this new life was totally created by God, I come tonight to remind you that you have a part in this process. As you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, God supernaturally birthed you into his kingdom. In the same way, you will have a part in maintaining this new life. Each day, you will have the opportunity to either strengthen your new relationship with God or neglect it. At the end of the day, you need to do a self-examination and ask yourself honestly, today, did I, Evangelist Von Dumas, did I strengthen my new relationship with God? Or did I neglect my relationship with God today? You see, you determine your rate of growth by what you feed your newly created spirit. Again, it's up to you. You determine how close you're going to be to God, the relationship you're going to have with him. You determine your rate of growth by what you feed your created spirit. You are a new creature in Christ. So now what do you do? It's up to you how close you get to Christ. Neglect is any one of the, if you want to stay in a relationship, you cannot neglect your relationship with Christ. If you want to be in a successful marriage, you cannot neglect your spouse. And it's the same in your relationship with Christ. You determine your rate of growth.
Well, here's a question for you. Have you ever heard of an electronic or an electric?
And what actually brings it into your goal?
Companies overseas and on the internet.
It actually determines you. You are the factor. You are the only one who can determine how close you're going to be with God. And three important ways, write these down, to make sure that you're strengthening your relationship with the Lord. To gain strength in your relationship, you must have daily prayer. Daily prayer. You must study of God's word. And you must regularly attend at a Bible-believing church. These are essential to your spiritual development. Number one, daily prayer. Number two, study of God's word. And number three, a regular attendance at a Bible-believing church. Neglect is any one of these three vital areas
in any one of those three areas, if you neglect it, it will generally produce dysfunctional Christians. And that's not where we're wanting to go. There's no need of being on pretending to be. You want to be all the way there. There's no need of wearing the emblem on your hat or putting it on the back of your car. But you're not growing. You're not representing anything. Hallelujah. So if you neglect any one of the areas, it will generally produce a dysfunctionality in your life. And you met people that could only be described this way. They may have been born again at one time in their life and started out with a clean heart. But somewhere along the way, they allow things like offense, opposition, disappointment to just stunt the growth. It could have been death. It could have been grief that they're stuck in that period. They could have lost this job. Spouse didn't do right, walked out on them, didn't get the job they thought they should have. Whatever, something that's their growth. They either stopped reading the word, they either stopped praying regularly, or they either stopped going to church. Then before long, their newly created heart was overtaken with the weeds of life that eventually chokes out God's word. I want to read that real quick. It's in the book of Mark in the New Testament. It is Mark chapter 4 and verse 18. Let's take a moment and turn there. Matthew, Mark 4 and 18 and 19. We're talking about how something can get life, can just choke out God's word. You ready? Let's read 18 and 19. 18 says, "Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word." And 19 says, "But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." Making it what? Unfruitful. So when we allow whatever it is to come into our situations and choke out the word that we just heard from the word from the man or the woman of God, then you become unfruitfulness. You're not producing fruit. Hallelujah. So whatever it may be, we want to remember Mark 4, 18 and 19. If we stop the essential things that breaks our relationship, praying daily, reading God's word, or praying about the brook of where you should be at, praying about where you should, what church you should be in, the one that God has anointed your leader, so you can get the word, so you don't get all distracted about any negativity that's going on. Because, of course, the enemy walks right in the church too. Anywhere that you're going to be there to get something powerful out, he's going to be there too. You have to determine that you're carrying Christ with you when you get there. You don't go there just looking. You go there with him with you. You pray for your leaders and everyone that's in there around you. And God will show up and give you what you need. You have to make sure you're at the right place. Because you're not, the word can be choked out of you. And so you're, especially new believers, but it's not just new believers. I look at so many people who have been in the wrong building for 40 and 50 years, just sitting there, getting nothing out of it. The word comes across the pulpit,
comes out and it tickles their ears for a minute, and they scream and yell and dance, and or may just sit there and say nothing, but they never apply it to life. So the heart becomes overtaken with weeds of life that it eventually just chokes it out, chokes the word out of you. God's word just gets choked right out of you. It's just like if you ever went to a beautiful garden, botanical garden, or any garden, and you just, it's just beautiful. Everything is just so manicured, and every flower just seems like it's just, every bloom is just where it needs to be. The hedges is all at just the right length, and they stand in erection, and everything is just polished, just like a perfect picture at any given time. Well, you know, it takes some work to keep that maintained, to maintain that garden. It takes work, daily work. Because if they just let it go and not stand there daily and come back looking over it, watching, pulling weeds, do you understand that it will be destroyed? And you'll have to go eventually end up hiring a landscape company or something to come and create entirely new flower beds, which could cause you a bundle because you already had spent the time and energy to get it there. But if you don't continue to do what you need to do to keep it in that condition, you have to start all over again, or it gets, the weeds will choke out the beauty. It will choke out the beauty. That is what neglect will do. It will cause you big time. You ever saw married couples, they just so happy on their wedding day? And they make these vows, and they stand with these broken promises. As they speak out of their mouth, they really have no intention of keeping the promises, keeping the vows. It is all about a wedding. It's all about that day. It's all about, this is my day. And I'm thinking about my marriage that comes after this day. But just this day, my day, my pretty dress, my tuxedos, my, who all I have here in my party, who all is here witnessing this. And we don't think about that God is the one, one person of all that we should be thinking about that is witnessing this. That we're doing this before God, before we do it before anybody else. And then we just allow, we neglect our spouse. We neglect our responsibilities of that marriage. And what happens? We pay for it. It costs you big time. You either lose your marriage, and now that person is no longer faithful to you, and you allow the weeds of life because you're neglecting the situation or that job that you prayed for and now that you have, and now it's just, you're just nonchalant. You're not doing what you should be doing. You're slipping here and shaving there. And you're just allowing the weeds of life to just cut off what you, God has given to you, what was at one time so beautiful. That's what neglect will do. It will cost you big time. You have to maintain it daily. And if you neglect your responsibilities with God, it's the same thing. You cut off. You allow the weeds of life to cut off God's word. It chucks it out, as we just read in Mark 4, 18 and 19. However, if I daily examine my life and then eliminate any wrong things and enforce the right things, then I will consistently produce results. Every hour spent on my knees will pay off. So one more time. However, if you daily examine your marriage, your job,
your life and then eliminate any wrong things and enforce the right things, you will consistently, very important, consistently produce results, good results. Every hour spent on your knees will pay off. See, the same principle will help anyone that desires to keep a clean heart. I'm not talking about the physical heart that pumps blood to your brains and your legs, but I'm referring to your inner self, the part of your character that thinks, feels, and decides what your body will do. If your heart is allowed to become overgrown with the cares of life, it can cost you. However, if you turn to God in prayer, instead of yielding to fear and yielding to worry, then the peace of God will be a guard over your mind and over your heart. Philippians 4:6-7 tells us, it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, which is a definite request, with thanksgiving, it says, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul, his peace shall be yours, which transcends all understanding and mounts guards over your heart and in your mind in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. See, Adam and Eve were warned. They were warned to God. They were warned by God to guard the garden. They didn't. Genesis 2:15 says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard and keep it. The devil came in one day when the guards was down. We know the story. And seeds of doubt got sown into their hearts because they start to listen to his lie. Instead of God's word, now they start to listen to his lie. And what did they do? They lost their home. The same home that he had told them to guard and keep it. Now, the only way that you will be able to guard and keep your heart clean is through daily study of God's word. It is the most powerful force in the world. And the same power that created the world is able to transform your world and keep everything in order. That same power, according to Hebrews 4:12, and it reads, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, effective. It says it is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, which is our soul, and the immortal spirit in our joints and marrow, which is the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. See, as you study, God expects. And as you study, you should expect God to speak to you through his word. He expects you to speak to him, and you should expect him to speak to you through his word. Allow him to just penetrate the deepest parts of your nature and expose the thoughts and purpose of your heart. You don't have to live a life that is tormented by fear or guilt or even hate or shame. God's peace, you and love can consistently, there's that word again, flow out of your heart. 1 Peter 1:22, and I know the scriptures, but we need the word. This is our sword.
Peter 1 and 22 says, since by obedience to the truth, through the Holy Spirit, you have purified your hearts for the sincere affection of the brethren. See that you love one another fervently from a pure heart. See, no matter what you've gone through in the past, you can purify your heart through the Holy Spirit. You can love others from a pure heart. So let's examine your heart in light of God's word. One of the best ways to do that is through mirrors. Mirrors are a wonderful thing if you take the time to use them. And I know we all look around and look at people and say, okay, they must not have a mirror or a friend. But mirrors will reveal what needs to be fixed and save you from embarrassing situations. You'll be able to see the lettuce in your teeth or you'll be able to see that, this outfit is not fitting me the way it used to. Because sometimes you get up and you dress and you look at yourself and you feel yourself before a mirror and you feel like you're looking one way. And then you get up and you go to the mirror and you're like, wow, this is not exactly what I thought I was looking at. This is not how I want to present myself today. Let me go make a little changes in moderation right here. Something needs to be changed about this situation. But the mirrors, they are there. But if we do not use them, then it can't help us. It can't tell us the things that we need to see. It can't show us those things. So, for us ladies, we know that the mirror will stop us when we're coming out of the ladies' room and make sure that our dress is completely down all the way around. How many times have you saw that? Or maybe it's happened to you yourself. Your hem is tucked in the back of your pantyhose. But the mirror was there. We just did not take an opportunity to check it. But you have to examine it. So you are to expose what the area is. You may have examined yourself in a mirror or of a photograph, especially me in a photograph. And you say, this doesn't look like me. If you've heard that come out of your mouth, it may be time for a quick reality check. Because I didn't realize I was sitting there looking at me, I didn't realize I was looking at that person like that. You may not recognize that side of yourself, but it's definitely you. It's definitely you. Most of us know that a mirror is necessary for a thorough self-examination of our natural body. Now, I remember, and it's still a lot of times, especially when I first started really doing self-examinations on myself, I always did it in front of a mirror, and I always looked at myself in the eyes as I did my self-examination. Just to say, Vaughn, this here, we need corrections in this area. He said, but that's crazy. But it's up to me to examine myself because God is looking at my heart. And I don't want to break my relationship with him. So most of us know that. That when you're doing a self-examination of our natural body, I just want to check. I check in the mirror all the time, but I look and see that even though I haven't got on the scale, I may say I'm not getting on the scale this week, but just checking my body and I can see, okay, wow, okay, I didn't really recognize that my arms was getting a little flabby there. I didn't recognize that I got a little wing going on. What's going on? See, when I look in the mirror and I can examine myself and then I can decide, I can see what's going on. Even though my shirts may not have told me, I didn't feel it in my shirts that they were any different than the sleeves, but when I examine myself, then I can look and see the area, and then I can decide to do something about it. I can decide that I need to do more. I need to work out. I need to lay off of this or that to get me to where I want to be. But if I don't take advantage of that mirror, then I may not ever recognize exactly what it is I need to make corrections on. So
So even though we may realize that it's necessary for us to do that self-examination, however, as few of us truly realize that the only thing that can effectively examine the depths of our heart is God's Word. His Word is like a mirror, reflecting and revealing our innermost thoughts and purposes. So a lot of people say, well, that's why I don't want to read the Word, because it's going to, you know, it's going to convict me. It also sets you up and puts you on the right road. Hallelujah. So it's God's Word. It's our mirror. As close as you may be to your mother, your sister, your brother, your friend, they do not know what's in your heart. In fact, you probably don't fully understand your own heart. The only way to comprehend the deepest parts of your heart is through diligent study of God's Word. Nothing is more revealing or more penetrating than the living Word of God. The following verses clearly reveal that we must examine ourselves in the light of God's Word. James 1:23-25. It tells us, for if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he's like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and he prominently forgets what he was looking like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and preserveth and looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. Just kind of looking at yourself and then forgetting what you look like. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine and test and evaluate your own self to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of test. Test and prove yourself. Do you not yourself realize and know really by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are counterfeit, disapproved on trial, and rejected? And then 1 Corinthians 11:28-31. I urge you to please go back and read. Again, 1 Corinthians 11:28-31. Again, it tells you about letting a man examine himself. Hallelujah. You must do a self-examination of yourself. You can't get around it. You must examine yourself. And we praise God for his word. So his word is our mirror, eliminating anything in your life that is not like Christ. Anything in your life that is not like Christ. So it's now we've examined, it's time to eliminate some things. If it's not of Christ, eliminate it. That affair is not of Christ, eliminate it. You know, receiving the stolen goods is not of Christ, eliminate it. You know, backbiting and gossip and keeping up all kind of stuff on your jobs, in your home, eliminate it. If it's not of Christ, eliminate it. And I know you've been holding on to some things. Sometimes we hold on to things so long. How do I even start to get this out of my life? What do I even do if it is going to be gone? But do we have to take those things to the cross? He said that we can bring all of our requests to him. So he's just willing and waiting on you to let him, to bring it to him. God, I need your help. I need you, Jesus. I need your help right now. Right now, I need you. Help me eliminate these things. Cut some things loose this year. Do something different this year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So again, after close examination, it is vitally important to eliminate anything that is not of Christ.
only the Holy Spirit has revealed an area in your life that must be crucified. Now, it's your responsibility to eliminate it from your life. Hosea 10 and 12 tells us that sow with a view of righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. See, fallow ground is that which has been plowed but not sown, not in use. It represents idle ground that is crusted over and hardened. Nothing would grow in that type of ground. No matter how much is sown, it will not produce a harvest. That fallow ground has to be broken up again in order to receive the seed. Has your heart become crusted over and hardened in life? Is it difficult for you to get beyond that last disappointment? Perhaps the word of God was real to you in the past, but you have allowed the distractions of life to pull you in the wrong direction. Maybe you're starting to notice the effects of moving away from God's plans from your life. If this is true, it can easily be corrected by seeking God. He can soften the hardest heart, and he can create an atmosphere that promotes strength, promotes a strong, healthy growth in every area of your life. In every area of your life. The above verses says, it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. Hallelujah. Until he comes to rain righteousness on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to come seeking the Lord. We have to come seeking the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God promises to reward those who diligently seek him in faith. That's what Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us. He promised to reward you. Hallelujah. For those who come seeking him diligently. You just can't today and maybe not tomorrow and then maybe next week and then when things are just hard, then that's when you come in. But no, you've got to come seeking him. You've got to do it diligently. You can't let nothing stop you. You've got to be determined that nothing's going to block you, that nothing's going to get in your way. Nothing. And promises to reward you if you do that. If you diligently seek him in faith, he's not looking to hold anything back from you. In fact, the total opposite is true. God is looking for you. Psalms 14:2 says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any who understood, dealt wisely, and sought after God, inspiring for and of him and requiring him, which is a vital necessity. So the Lord, God is looking for you. He loves doing favor in your life. He loves you to seek him. He wants to be the one that answers your prayers. He wants to speak to you. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Creator is looking for you? You said, for me? You know, I'm the one who went around and was telling everybody that there is no God. He's not looking for me. You know, God is waiting patiently in line for you. He will change your life so much that it will change your name. Saul, Paul. You're not the first. Isn't it wonderful now to know that God, the Creator, your Creator, is looking for you? Even though you may have lost your way, God knows where you are, and He's always ready to direct your path. He wants to shine a light on your path. He wants to shine that light so that you will not fall again and again into the traps of the enemy. Seeking Him will keep your heart pure, keep your heart uncluttered. Seeking Him will enable you to hear His direction. Hallelujah. God knows exactly where all the traps of the enemies are placed. I have a place on my way to work as I travel every day, and it's they try to fill the pothole. It's always back. We don't get a lot of rain here in San Antonio, but just the wear and tear of it, the pothole is always pretty much there. So I'm always very aware that it's a pothole on this particular road as I go. So I'm aware of that. So it would be stupid of me to just keep going and keep running into this pothole when I know that it's there. Well, God knows exactly where all of the traps of the enemies are placed. And when we pay attention to God's word, we will know just when we need to move to the right or move to the left to avoid the ugly potholes of life. But if we're not in the Word, and we're not in daily prayer, and we're not in a Bible-taught church, then we have no idea. We have no way of knowing where the potholes are. And so we just continually to just fall in the same pothole over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. So remember, God wants to help you. He loves doing you favors. He knows where all of the traps of the enemy are placed. Proverbs 4 and 20 and 24, actually. We have a few minutes. Let's go ahead and read that real quick. Proverbs 4:20-24 says, "My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. Put away from you false and dishonest speech, and willful and contrary talk. Put far away from you." You notice that when you pay attention to God's word and keep it in the center of your heart, it will affect your health. It'll bring healing in all of your flesh. That is why your heart should be guarded with all vigilance. You are the watchman over your own heart. Don't allow the wrong things to enter in and steal God's promises from you. Recognize those situations that are designed by the devil to sabotage your spiritual growth. And then refuse to listen to talk that is contrary to the words of God. Refuse to listen to it. And put it far away from you. And if you are determined to eliminate the wrong things, they will not be able to take root in your heart. So now that you eliminate it, let's enforce. So we've examined, eliminated. Let's enforce, daily enforce the right thing. We need to enforce those things. Also, it's important to daily examine your heart and eliminate the wrong things. It is equally important to daily enforce the right things. You just don't want to talk about what you can't do, what you got to eliminate from your heart. You've already did your self-examination and you saw what's going on that could be separating you from Christ. And so you eliminate that. So now let's reinforce. Let's enforce the right things. See, keeping a clean heart is a lot like keeping a clean house. And I like a clean house. I don't know about you, but I don't like a dirty house. It will not just happen. And I had to find that out. Because I never liked a dirty house. I didn't grow up in a dirty house. My mom could not stand that. But when I was out on my own, I still didn't like a dirty house. I just particularly didn't enjoy cleaning the house. But I did want it clean. And after a while, I figured out, I'm going to have to clean it if it's going to get clean. So once I figured that out, I now have that home that I like. Hallelujah. I know I can hear somebody now saying, I like a clean house, but my spouse doesn't. The two-way thing there, husband and wife, you too should be picking up, cleaning up. Hallelujah. It would not just happen. Someone will have to work very hard to make sure things get cleaned up and to put the things in the proper place. And I find that the sooner you start getting it clean and get everything in its right, proper place, then it's easier to keep it in the condition that you want it in. It's easier to keep it that way. See, when my kids were small, I remember their father would go into the boys' rooms especially, and the two boys shared a room, so it was easy for them to accumulate a lot of stuff, especially when they had a mother who bought a lot of stuff for them. So he would eventually go in there, and he would just clean everything out in there, and he'd have every toy back in its place and all the books back on the bookshelf that was in there, and he had everything in the right order, and it would stay there, and it would stay that way for, you know, he would tell them, I want it to remain this way, and it would for maybe a week, 2 weeks to the top, because he didn't continue, we didn't, let me get in that blame too, we didn't continue to check on them or to continue to remind them that they need to continue to keep it picked up every day. And so what would happen is eventually it would get right back into the place that it was before. And we could see it as time goes by that now it's closed back over here and the toys were everywhere. And like I said, when you had a mother who bought big toys too, it was just easy for things to get to accumulate. And then the things would start to be not in their room anymore only. Now we see them out in the front room or they're in the basement. They're in different parts. They're even back in here in our room now. Until we get fed and we say, well, what's going on now? Why are your toys? Everywhere I step, I'm stepping on your toys. Why? Because, again, the room now had got just back like it was before their father went in there and helped them clean out everything. So that's the same thing. If you're going to keep it in a right condition, you've got to keep it up daily. Same with our relationship. If we're going to keep our lives and our relationship in a strong area with Christ, if we're going to stay content doing what we need to do, working in this vineyard, then we have to daily assess, daily examine, daily eliminate, daily enforce. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, again, the same thing is true about keeping a clean heart. In Songs of Solomon 1 and 6 tells us, it says, please do not look at me, she said, for I am swarthy. I have worked out and in the sun and it has left its marks upon me. My stepbrothers were angry with me, and they made me keeper of the vineyard. But my own vineyard, which is her complexion she was speaking of, I have not kept. How often have you allowed the demands and cares of this life to keep you from taking proper care of your vineyard? You know, I'm just too tired to work out. And I understand what hard work is. I'm a number one doer. I work hard, and I love working hard. I want to take advantage of everything that God gives me, every breath, every moment. I want to be doing something. So I understand that. But what are we neglecting sometimes? How often do we allow the demands and the cares of this life to keep us from taking proper care of our vineyard, to work out? Have you become so busy doing godly things that you've neglected to cultivate your own relationship with the Lord? You said, but I'm out here and I'm feeding the hungry and I'm at church every time the doors are open and, you know, I'm doing this. But have you cultivated your relationship with the Lord? Are you neglecting your personal relationship with the Lord? How busy are you? Have you had to say, but my own vineyard I have not kept, as she spoke in Songs of Solomon? We have to examine ourselves. So after you examine your heart with God's word and eliminate the weeds of life so that you cannot take, they cannot take root in your heart, it may be time to start enforcing God's word. You can keep your heart clean and pure. You don't have to be dominated by bitterness or despair. During the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples a parable that compared our relationship with him to a vineyard that had to be kept clean, pruned, and watered in order to bear fruit. And that is in John 15:1-8. Again, it's John 15:1-8. Take out some time, and you will recognize it. It starts out by saying that I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, which means that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, which is his teaching. And it says, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, which is being virtually united to, without abiding in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me, I in him bears much fruit. However, apart from me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire as they are burned. If you abide in me, if you live in me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your heart, then he says, ask anything, whatsoever you will, hallelujah, and it shall be done for you. When you bear much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. And you show and prove yourself to be true followers of mine. John 15:1-8. And at least once a week, I think we should just go back and just read that and remind ourselves until you get to where you need to be. The above verses reveal Jesus' formula for a fruitful life that honors and glorifies God. That honors and glorifies God. I want to honor God, do you? I want to glorify God. How about you? How about you? Ask yourself that. Maybe you never thought about honoring God. Maybe you never thought about glorifying God. John 15, 1 and 8 will show you how. Hallelujah. When you abide in Jesus and his word remains in your heart, you can say whatever you will and it shall be done. Now, that is an awesome promise from God. Answered prayer is the right of every believer that stays vitally united to the vine, Jesus Christ. When you pray according to the word, you are enforcing God's will in the earth. God is concerned about every detail of your life, small and large. Hallelujah. Some people say, oh, I'm not going to bring after Christ. He's too busy to worry about me and my taxes, me and my finances, me and my relationship, me and my job. God is concerned about every detail of your life, large and small. Through diligent re-study of the word, you can know that it is God's will for you to continually walk in divine health, walk in his favor, walk in his divine protection, walk in prosperity, walk in his wisdom, walk in his peace. Somebody needs to just walk in his love and joy, to walk in his Holy Ghost. I've discovered that it is not enough for us to know the will of God. As born-again Christians, our daily lives must also enforce, approve the will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 challenges us with the bold statement, approving. Hallelujah. He says, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Read the whole thing, Romans 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Hallelujah. I close tonight just reminding you a few things. If you are serious about proving the will of God, it is vital that you get busy changing your old ways of thinking. You can be living proof, evidence in this earth. You can be living proof that it's God's will to heal you from sickness, to deliver the oppressed, and abundantly bless all of his people. Hallelujah. It's vital that you get busy changing your old ways of thinking. You're entirely renewing your mind according to the word of God. God has a good, acceptable, and perfect will for you. It's waiting to be enforced, approved in your life. Jesus shared the parable in Luke 13. Luke 13, 6 through 9. He says, a third man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. See, maybe the enemy has told you, you are useless to the kingdom of God. Why do you even use up the ground? I come to remind you, don't listen to that lie. And don't walk into the devil's traps to keep you in a constant state of despair. You wake up every morning in a constant state of fear. You wake up every day in a constant state of depression or failure, remembering back what happened back then, and nothing ever goes right for you. And he's telling you, you're useless in the kingdom of God.
Why are you even using up the ground? You're just taking up breath. Don't listen to that lie, brother. Stop right there, sister. Don't listen to that lie. And refuse to keep walking into the same traps that he's setting for you. Remember, God knows where every trap that the devil has set. He knows where they are. Jesus has not given up on you. You are important to God, and you're useful in his kingdom. Oh, I'm going to say it again. You, contrary to what the enemy is telling you, you are important to God, and you are useful in his kingdom. Although your heart may have been damaged by the pressures of life, and you stop bearing fruit, and the great vineyard keeper has an awesome plan that will restore you to full production. Will restore you to full production. Fruit can grow. But you must first begin with an honest examination of the current situation of your heart in the light of God's word. Don't be shocked when he reveals some wrong things that need to be eliminated and some right things that must be enforced. Jesus is ready. Jesus is willing. And Jesus is able to help you break up your fallow ground, to put in fertilizer and create a clean heart within you. There is no better time to begin that than today. There's no better time to begin that than today. So you need to do an examination, examine, eliminate, and enforce. Examine, eliminate, and enforce. And remember, Jesus already knows where every pothole is, every pothole that the enemy has for you. Mirrors are there to help you. That is God's word. But it can't help you if you don't look into it. God knows exactly where every way the enemy has placed every trap in your life, for you personally. But when you pay attention to God's word, we will know just when we need to move to the right or to the left to avoid the ugly potholes of life. Proverbs 4:20-24 reminds you how to guard your heart. To guard your heart, my sisters and brothers. Examine your heart. Hallelujah. And if you have not met and accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, very important that you understand that. I don't care how long you've been in church, but have you confessed him? Have you confessed and do you accept him? Have you told him that you believe? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I just want to take this opportunity to just introduce you. He's the greatest friend you'll ever have. And as you say these words, if you believe them with your heart, you will be born again according to his word. The Bible has it recorded in Romans 10:9-10. After me, if you will, please. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. And in your name I pray, amen. If you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all of heaven is celebrating with you, for you, about your decisions. You have a brand new life with Jesus and a bright future filled with faith and hope. It's important that you tell someone. Let someone know about your decision to follow Christ. I would love to hear from you. I would love to send out any kind of literature that will help you on your way.
any Bibles, you can reach me by leaving a message here on the Blog Talk, calling in on any live show, 646-652-4916. Or you can send me an email, the same email that you use to send in your prayer request, and that is at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for just another segment of you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing us peace. Thank you for showing us how to come closer to you, how to maintain a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us your beauty and you showing us how much you love. You love us enough to not let us fall by the wayside. You love us enough to not let us get caught up in believing the devil's lies. And you love us enough to not let us get carried away and let life get us so busy that we choke out the words, that your precious word gets choked out in our life. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of another show. This is, again, your host, Evangelist Vaughn Dumas, coming from San Antonio, Texas, with the ministry of Tri-Anointed Ministries. Hallelujah. Just let us know if we can be in any help to you and your walk with Christ. Remember, Christ is thinking about you, and he only wants the best for you. God bless you. We are still praying for all of the sick and the shut-in, all of the ones on the prayer list. We continuously pray for you daily. And we ask now that everyone who has heard the word, whether it was live tonight, we love you. We see you in the chat rooms. For the ones that called in and did not want to be aired but just wanted to listen, God bless you. Or what is in the archive, however that you have received this word, I remind you, you're responsible for the word. You're responsible for taking this word and sharing it with someone. You're responsible now not to just take the word and be fat off of the word for yourself, but to start living the word, choosing to live the word. If you would like to go into the chat room for the ones that are there, you will see all of the scriptures that was listed in tonight's broadcast. Or you can play this back as many times if you like. You can download it to your MP3 player. However you want. Be determined tonight that you're not going to let anything or anybody, or you're not going to get too busy that you do not get the word. Get the word. Write it down. Meditate on it day and night so you do not continue to step into the enemy's potholes over and over and over again. God loves you. Your slate is wiped clean. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Examine your heart. Examine your heart. Be truthful with yourself. Your family may love you. Don't know everything that's going on in your heart. You truly may not know. Examine your heart. Examine your heart. Hallelujah. Eliminate what's not of God. And then enforce the right things. We love you, God. We love you. We love your presence. We love what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Let me know. God bless you. Thank you. Make sure that you worship God today. Just worship today. Don't get too busy to worship. God bless you. I love you here, Tri-Anointed Women of Christ. We love you. Evangelist Von Dumas signing off.